What's up, everybody? This is Brian. I'm here with Israel, Dan, and Alonzo from Ganondorf.
What up, guys?
How's it going? Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. So you guys, maybe you can kind of give us a brief history of the band.
Okay. You want to start?
Yeah. So when we start around 2008, met this guy through my friend Bruno, who actually used to be our first bassist. Went to school with the guy, and then he said, "Hey, I actually have this buddy, Dan of mine, who wants to start a black metal band based off of Legend of Zelda called Ganondorf." I said, "You fucking sold me. All right, let's do it." So, you know, we go over to his place, and he's got his trailer slash recording studio set up, and, you know, we start laying down some tracks in GarageBand. First stuff that we did was, I think it was Death Crush.
It was a Mayhem Death Crush
cover. Yeah, Mayhem Death Crush cover.
And one song that you made was A Modest Proposal.
Yeah, I had some old guitar fro weird stuff that I had written that was just floating around, and then we reattributed it to the band. So we started off with a Death Crush cover, and then we decided, hey, we're called Ganondorf. Let's do the cover of the Gerudo Valley theme from Legend of Zelda, but as a black metal style. So we started, you know, laying down guitar tracks. He just screamed about, what, Raping Princesses over
there? Yeah, it was very crude. So it was like, lyrically, it was, you know, if Ganondorf was, you know, taking princesses and raping them with anal beats.
Oh, wow.
So very comical, you know, but just like kind of getting the feel for things, you know. We were teenagers.
Yeah.
This 2008, guys.
Yeah, 2008. So, yeah, don't judge. But, yeah, that was like our first three songs that we ever did, you know, and it ended up being really fucking like grim and evil to us at the time. And we put it up on MySpace, and
these were the MySpace days.
MySpace days, yeah.
before four times.
Yeah, but it ended up getting like a good reaction, and we decided like, hey, we should, you know, make a full-blown demo. And we ended up making a, was it like, I think, 9 tracks?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We had the cover on there. We had some of the songs that I had written earlier on Guitar Pro. And, you know, it was all very crude, lo-fi, black metal, drum machine. You know, it was really us figuring out the recording process, doing a lot of experimentation. I think that lent it to its kind of charm, because it's really experimental. We're like, oh, man, what if we add these weird synths here, these weird effects, and do really unorthodox things that, like, you know, our naive minds didn't think anything weird about it. Like, if we started doing that nowadays, you'd be like, no, this is stupid. What the hell are you doing?
I was like, you can't do this.
You know, so we're kind of unrestricted in that way, in our very, you know, youthful kind of like, oh my God, we're starting a band, we're starting a project, we can do anything we want. So yeah, we started off just as a studio project, trailer project.
Yeah. I bought the trailer off like my neighbor for like $300. The guy used to like make like jewelry and shit. And then like his dad died in it. And then like the guy who was like my neighbor, you know, he's like, didn't want that trailer like in the yard or anything. So like he sold it to us, and like, you know, we pulled it over into my yard. You know, it's like, oh, this would be a cool place to fucking, you know, record some metal and shit. You know? So like, why not?
You know, and a refurbished airplane or something.
Yeah, so it was like an Airstream trailer.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah, but
the silver
Spartan Air. Yeah, a Spartan Airstream trailer. So it was initially like the whole of like an airplane body. I was converting to like a living situation, but then like over the years, you know, it turned into a regular trailer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, trailers, you know, they don't look the greatest after, you know, 10 years, 20 years later, you know, and then,
but good for recording.
Yeah, good for recording, you know.
Oh, especially the back.
It's authentic.
It's like a vocal booth. Yeah, it's the exact size of a vocal booth.
Yeah, you know, it's also a shitter house reverb.
Yeah. Yeah, natural tile reverb, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, we decided to move on to, you know, being a live playing band. That's when we got our drummer Ethan. I think at that time Bruno had left. And then we recruited Molly on the bass, and we started playing shows. Our first show was at the Ramona main stage. Mm-hmm. There's actually still footage on YouTube of that.
Yeah.
Playing the Legend of Zelda cover in black metal style with like a bunch of teenagers moshing to us. It was a great time. Yeah. So we played a few shows under the name Ganondorf, and then eventually the lineup changed a few times, and our attitudes kind of shifted towards more of like a serious death metal sound. So that's when we had Garrett and Nick come on, and then we switched over to the name Gravespell. So that's where it kind of diverged. Gravespell became its own thing. Over time, it kind of burnt out a little bit. There's still stuff I want to bring back with the Gravespell, but that's off in the future. But over time, I got back with this guy and said, hey, we've got a lot of songs that we never touched on.
Yeah.
And we know a lot more now about recording than we did when we were, you know, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And so was it 2020? A little bit before
2020, I remember I was driving to work while everything was shut down and streets were just fucking empty. And like, I was just thinking in my head, I was like, well, what can I do with all this fucking time I have in my head? I was like, you know what? I got to hit up Alonzo, you know, and like, I hit him up and I was like, hey, dude, let's make the fucking Ganondorf album, you know? Like, we had like so much fucking music that we just like made over the years, you know? I just left Seattle, you know, I already did like a Void Throne album, you know, and like he was already doing like Mithraeum stuff, you know, and like we were pretty seasoned musicians at the time, you know, but like we felt like we had like so much Ganondorf material that felt like it, we never did it justice. So we wanted to like really harness the time that we had given to us because the world was going to shit at the time. So it was like perfect time to do it. So might as well do it. So that was like, dude, let's make the fucking Ganondorf album. We're like, yes, let's do it. And we got together, you know, and then like weekly we would just get together and start fleshing out like, you know, some of the songs that we think that, you know, were fucking the tits, you know, and some of them were actually garbage. And then like, other ones were just like, you know, we can maybe work on it here and there. And then like, you know, over the past, you know, 4 years, we ended up creating this album, The Nightmare Institution.
Ugh. Yeah, so I was listening to it today. Was this all self-recorded and mastered and all that?
It was recorded at his place and at my place, but we had someone else who did the mastering.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you guys mastered it, it sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, I wish I knew how to master like
that.
The guy that he got in touch with was really good. What was his project name?
Dishini from Sri Lanka.
Yeah, he's from Sri Lanka. Yeah, I think he was an intern at some big record label. Was it like Nuclear Blast or Metal Blade or something?
No.
Oh, I thought he was an intern.
No. Yeah, he was learning like how to mix and master stuff at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in this black metal band, like one of like the few black metal bands in Sri Lanka that happened to open up for one of Marduk's first shows when they played in India recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. So you guys had it done outside.
And I guess I kind of wanted like a you know, someone who wasn't, you right. know, familiar with our music. Someone's fresh bias.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I was listening to some of it. It keeps off a little bit of a old man Charles kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys were kind of going for that. Is that something that
we get that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably like the main song the first song that we put out recently was Cthulhu. Or Black Seas of Infinity, which we used to be called Cthulhu, but
yeah,
it's about
working Cthulhu. Title.
that was like definitely more inspired by Old Man's Child, having like the melodic black metal, kind of with the synths in the background, really evil melodies thrown in there and stuff. Some of the other songs we tried to diverge into different styles, even like incorporating different genres and stuff. But yeah, definitely Old Man's Child, Dimmu Borgir influence. Like there's actually this bluesy black metal band from France called Glory or Belly that I took some influence from them in one of our songs that has a little bit more like a bluesy twang to some of the chord progressions and stuff like that. There's definitely some like Spanish flamenco guitar stuff that
I heard that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, a lot of different styles that we tried to like make it almost like an anthology album of different concepts musically, but also kind of tied together still.
That's kind of what I get. It's got a lot of diversity without sounding all over the place.
Yeah.
Like it still has still gels together with kind of a consistent sound to it. It sounds kind of contradictory, but maybe you kind of know what I mean. Like
yeah,
especially like with the guitar playing, It's got some thrashy songs on some parts. Some parts a little more, you know, melodic, but it still has that consistent sound.
Yeah, I think with the guy doing the mixing and mastering really helped it like gel together, be really cohesive, and just, you know, it's
made it heavy and sick.
Yeah,
you know, like it gave it like a more modern sound, because like the way that we recorded like our demos, like our rough mixes of everything, was very crude, you know, and like almost like amateurish in a way, and it was kind of you know, we tried to make it sound like more like super atmospheric black metal, and like things were kind of like hidden in the mix.
Summoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost like dungeon synth kind of style mixing. But like now with this more like better, thicker, heavier mix, it's more
brings it out.
And it's really like in your face.
Right.
In a way, you know?
What a difference mastering mix, right?
It does. Yeah. It's like it's insane.
Hearing stuff that you're like, oh wow, that really is popping out.
Yeah,
for being an independent release and being recorded by you guys, the sound is very impeccable, which is very rare, especially with black metal. To get that sort of sound that's still thick and heavy, but it's it sounds really well. It's pleasing to the ear. It's not screechy. It's not, you know, weird, and it's not, you don't have an overbearing synth sound, and you have an overbearing this. It's kind of a good mix master of course. The album's out on April 20th, you said?
Yep.
Yes. Do you guys have plans to put out a physical copies, I imagine?
We do. We're planning to make a short run of a physical copy that we're both still currently working on, like the album art right now, and we hope to have that done and made before the 20th, so it's going to be available for everyone on our Bandcamp page.
Okay.
You know, by April 20th.
Streaming platforms, I'm guessing?
All the streaming platforms, YouTube, Discord, fucking Spotify, YouTube, you name it, iTunes,
Discord,
iHeartMusic.
Discord does music.
Discord.
I might be wrong.
Okay.
But I can make a Discord page. And I'll put it on.
Yeah, you better get on this.
We'll need some mods.
Yeah.
I can make a Ganondorf Discord mod page.
So then, but I noticed you guys already have singles out.
Yeah.
Yeah, two of them. So
yeah, far. Yeah. For the cover art, is that like something you do, or
so? Black Seas of Infinity was a snapshot of from our lyric video.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
it looks really good. So yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how it's gonna look on physical and all that. But
yeah, so we do a lot of like Photoshop. I went to school for like graphic design, and I've been like, fucking with that shit for like years.
Okay,
so I did that for like every minute I've been in. I've been doing like, you know, Photoshop and graphic design stuff for like a lot of bands and stuff here and there. I've done like a lot of show flyers too growing up, like with Gravespell and everything.
Are you guys planning on taking this to the live stage to actually do this live?
So that's a good question. I think we would like to, but maybe not like as a normal, regular, like touring band or something, more like one-off shows, maybe, you know, promoting some new release or something. I do have people who said that they're definitely down to play. You know, I have someone who I live with, a drummer, and he's like, yeah, I'll definitely fucking pay.
Boy, otherwise you kick him out. You gotta do that shit. You wanna live here? You gotta play.
Yeah. So, I think we do want to play shows, but not like a normal touring band. More like, you know how like an All Noth Rock used to be, where it's like every show once in a while.
Right.
Yeah,
scratch that itch once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a one-off here and there, you know, like maybe like a couple months here and there, end of the year kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's in like
I got enough
3 or 4 months.
Yeah. I mean,
trying to coordinate with him is already difficult as it is.
Yeah. Shit, imagine.
But I would love to bring you to life.
Let's see. Mithrium, Hellsot, Corpse Maker. This I got my other side project. That's
to an account. Very cool, bro.
Yeah.
Well, we've been enjoying it. I'm glad you guys you gave us a chance to listen to it before it comes out. It is really, really the type of stuff that kind of is right up my alley, at least, you know. And we've been talking about it, and it's cool to see, you know, what black metal bands here in San Diego. We don't have too many of them. And it's kind of like a little genre here in San Diego that's kind of overlooked sometimes.
Yeah,
it's cool to see that you guys are got those, that creative drive to to put some out like this. It's not cookie cutter, and it's really, really out there, and it sounds really cool. With that being said, what's next after this release?
Well, hopefully we will have like, you know, a live show here and there, you know, hopefully end of the year or maybe beginning of next year. Definitely we're going to create more music for sure. You know,
There is a playthrough video that we're going to come out with.
Yeah.
That's going to have crazy filter effects on it. Like we filmed ourselves, and then there's like AI filters that you can use to put a scenario over like a layer over everything, so it looks like it's in a fucking like haunted field filled with like lightning and fucking shit like that. So kind of semi playthrough slash music video. That was for our second single, so we're gonna put that out I believe prior to the album. It's just a lot of editing that goes into it that, you know, sometimes the physical hardware can't keep up with.
I'm gonna have to buy a new laptop.
So yeah,
just try to get what I'm picturing in my head, like how I want it to look, you know. So
yeah, everything's rough.
Yeah. Like I love experiencing with new technology, so like I definitely like, you know, experiment with those kind of things in our music, you know.
Did you like After Effects or something?
A lot of After Effects for
sure. I have no idea how that program works.
Yeah, like
I open up once in a while, I'm like, maybe I should do
Like him and I will spend like, you know, nights together where we're just like, you know, experimenting and creating like new virtual instruments, you know, on some of the sound effects and like plugins that we want to use for our music. And you can hear that in the album on maybe the second half of the album, but like it will really like come through. And like that's something that we love to do, is just create like these new weird ass shit that fucking comes through like on the spur of a moment kind of things with Ganondorf.
Like, what was that program that you were using where you can just talk into it and it'll pick up?
Coachella.
Yeah, it'll pick up the pitch. Yeah. And so you can actually, like, if you just want to, like, hum a riff or an idea, you can actually assign an instrument to it, or, like, a MIDI or a synth or something.
Oh, wow.
And just be like, da-da-da-da-da, and then it'll actually, like, map it out and play that so that you can, like, you know, if you have an idea but you don't really want to sit down and, like, learn it on guitar at that moment, it's just kind of spur of the moment, you can just kind of hum it out and it'll play it like an instrument. Or if you don't know how to play a keyboard very well, you can do that too.
I could be a couch musician with something.
We still gotta go in there and like fine tune it all, but like getting ideas down is kind of like, you know, taking your ideas from a sketch or like you're writing it down on a notepad and then like putting it into the digital world so you can then like make it grow like a flower or a tree.
I mean, it's a kind of a cool way to kind of like, you know, people used to just have hand recorders and like, play a riff into it or something like
exactly,
that. Did you guys attempt to like shop the album for like a label or anything?
We had the idea of shopping it around for a while, but we realized that since we weren't playing live for a while, we didn't really have a presence to do all this. So it would be probably better if we just funded it and just do it ourselves to just get the first album out and then go from there. And then once they hear, you know, what Ganondorf is all about and what we can do, then if, you know, a label wants to come to us and, you know, want to pick us up and then we can want to do a second one, then
that's cool.
We'll go from there.
There's a lot of people that like self-finance the album, but then they release it to a label. That way, like, the label's not taking all their money.
You
know?
Yeah.
The little money that you end up making, the label keeps.
I mean, because it's all, at the end of the day, it's about the more people being exposed to it.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in that sense, you could probably get the same or similar results with like hiring a PR.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just to get the album out. Because I think that's the most important thing is to get more listeners.
Yeah.
And I know most of them are probably going to be through digital, you know, online streaming, and that's kind of the new paradigm now.
So, yeah. The PR companies, all they do is send emails. That's like all they do.
Yeah.
Literally all they do.
Like middleman, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, they do good. They reach a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting interviews and webzines and stuff like that. And I mean, that's definitely gets it out there. So, I think that's the direction that we're going to be heading in as far as like promoting the album. Getting ourselves up.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
What do you guys kind of think of kind of the, there's like some new bands coming out that are, I don't want to say similar style, but kind of this throwback symphonic black metal, like Stormkeep, and like, you know, there's a couple of these
bands. I love Stormkeep, man.
I'm kind of digging this kind of revival.
Yeah, it's great.
One new band that I really like that I'm not even sure if like I call it symphonic black metal or if it is like in its own genre is Wizard Throne.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the guys from what is it? Ailstorm, mm-hmm. playing keyboard. So if you were listening on Balsa Goth,
yeah,
it's got Balsa kind of that spooky story time, like weird epic, sci-fi slash fantasy epic style too.
Oh man, if you're gonna like copy a band, not saying to copy, but Balsa Goth was like there was nothing like them.
Yeah that's why I'm like, is that its own genre of like wizard metal? You know, because that is
like when you go to the grocery store and you find like those discount like clearance like sci-fi or romance novels.
Yeah.
You know, like that's Balsa Goth.
What the fuck is this, dude? Oh, hell yeah. You know,
it's like,
see those covers?
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's like a wizard just like impaling a fucking orc in the face.
Like it's on the moon.
Like Fabio Wizard. Awesome.
Yeah, Fabio Wizard.
Yeah, dude.
Well, it's like Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
super nerdy. Cool.
It's like Manowar without the hyper masculinity and like way more nerd dialed in.
Yeah,
but I mean, if you listen to Wizard Throne, you're like, oh, this sounds almost exactly like Balsa Goth.
I know I listened to them, but I think they just like I forgot about them since you know I've listened to so many bands since then. But I got it. I'll give them another listen again.
It's a very distinct style that you cannot mistake. Like. Well, as soon as you hear the spoken word vocals, you're like, oh, it's Balsa Goth. Like,
oh, man.
It's
Balsa Goth, so that's got to come back.
Yeah.
It's very heavy in the mids and, like, low ranges on the keys, you know, for everything. And that kind of just, like, takes prominence of, like, everything else that's going on. And stuff, you know? But, like, the guy writes his own sci-fi novels. He's also the lyricist and vocalist of his band. So it's just like, okay, it makes a lot of sense, you know?
What nerdy can't you do?
Yeah, it's true.
I bet you now we're going to get a whole bunch of like Dune influence.
Oh my god.
Like that.
Dune influence.
Like, black death metal.
The dark sci-fi, you know, the desert dark sci-fi.
I feel like it's kind of always been there, but now, it's going to get hard.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you still doing playing Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings is old now.
That was like, dude. That was 15 years ago, dude. We moved on from that. We went to Harry Potter, and now we're on Dune.
There's not a lot of Harry Potter metal bands, though.
No.
They kind of skipped that whole.
Just fuck that one.
No, it was cool.
Movies, whatever they do. Guys, thank you so much for hanging with us.
Yeah.
Ganondorf, name of the album?
The Nightmare Institution.
Out.
420?
420.
I think there's something to do with 420 other than just smoke.
It's on Kurt. Do both.
Definitely. It pairs well with weed. And
exactly.
And fine.
And shrooms.
And shrooms, yes.
Get yourself into a cannabis-induced coma. Listen to some nightmares.
Exactly.
It's going to be infectious.
You'll have some good trips for sure. Alonzo, Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, Israel.
It.
Thank you, guys.
Checking us out. We'll see you in the next one.
All right.
Yeah.
Good
job,
guys.
Yeah.
You guys killed it, dude.
I felt like it went
quick.
Was that good?
Quick.
Yeah.
No, it was good.
Good?
Right before 30 minutes. So all right. I was like, all right, good. I didn't want the thing to shut off.